1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until 3 o'clock this summer's Friday. And I'll go straight to Tanya now. Tanya, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Tanya, you spend a lot of time in Wexford.
I do, as much as I can.
And you have three dogs?
I do.
And you have an issue now with Wexford County Council.
Just after the last lot of restrictions were lifted, we went down for a weekend and I just was online reading local things about Wexford, as I do, and I came across a consultation where the council were proposing to ban dogs from all their blue flag beaches between the hours of 11 and 6 during the summer months and all bank holidays. So it wasn't even restrict them. It was a total ban on dogs between basically the whole of the day, really.
And what beach would you... Do you have a place down there, a place you go to?
Yeah, we have a little house down there. And as I said, my family, my parents and my grandparents before me, we've been going down all our lives. So we'd know a lot of the local people and know a lot of the Dublin people that holiday down there and people from Kildare. My local beach will be Curraghloe. I've been near Curraghloe, Ballinesker and Culleton's Gap. They'd be the three beaches.
And are all of those blue? I know, well, Curraghloe obviously is a blue flag beach, a beautiful beach.
Beautiful, stunning beach. Yeah, Curraghloe is, and Ballinesker, I think, was awarded it this year. And Culleton's Gap got the Green Coast Award. So, a lot of the beaches in Wexford got the blue flag, which is absolutely brilliant. But my point is, if this is going to come in, it's like a catch-22. And my problem is that a lot of people that I know bought mobile homes at quite a large initial outlay, and then they're paying maybe 2,000 or 3,000 euros a year for, you know, the site fees and that. And a lot of them purposely bought dog-friendly ones because they would have wanted to be able to bring their dogs on holidays now, especially this year where we're all told you have to holiday at home, which we do. You have to support or try and support the economy, which we all want to do. Keep the money in Ireland, help all the local businesses.
Mm-hmm. So, and have an outdoor summer.
And any time if you go to Wexford, you will see families that literally, you know, they bought within that, you know, for that reason near the beaches, or local people that live near the beaches and they might walk their dog on their lunch break. So between 11 and 6 wouldn't suit them if they're working in the local shop or pub and they slip home to bring their dog out for a walk in the summer. My issue as well with the mobile homes is you can't really leave a dog locked up all day in a mobile home. Like, it's pretty much like leaving it in a car. So if you bought a mobile home and you've kids and you want to go for your picnic for the beach and bring the kids to the beach and bring your dog, and you're after paying anything from 15 to 40 or 50 or 60,000 for a mobile home and you're keeping the money in Ireland, now you're not supposed to do that. Like, nobody's going to be going to the beach at 6:30 in the evening to spend the day if they've young kids and a dog. So,
yeah, and of course, the thing that strikes me, Tanya, as well, is that there's a lot more families with dogs now than would have been a year or 2 years ago, because dogs came into play hugely during lockdown.
They did. And do you know what, Katie? That's another issue. And it's not really different to the issue. That there's a lot of factors involved in this. One thing I would say, if there is any issues with dog ownership, and I'm not denying that maybe, you know, people have had grievances out on a walk or something with somebody acting inappropriate with their dog, there are laws there already. We have dog wardens and we now have beach wardens. There are laws there already that people can say, or the people in authority can say, you know, can you put your dog under control or whatever. I don't know actually what really is behind this, but my objection is that we're all being banned. All the good owners are being banned.
Okay, we have a statement, Tanya. I'll just give you a flavour of what Wexford County Council are telling us.
Yes.
They're saying that the proposal, as you said there, envisages the restriction of dogs but only from our blue flag beaches during the hours of 11 to 6 during the summer season and also on bank holidays. And it says the proposed restriction does not apply to the other 50 plus beaches along Wexford's 270 kilometres of coastline. They're saying they have five blue flag beaches and 10 times as many non-blue flag beaches.
But Katie, those blue flag beaches are huge holiday destination areas. I mean, Curraghcloe is absolutely huge. Go down any weekend and you'd be actually doing well to get into the village. There'd be 3 and 4 mile tailbacks, and that's another issue with the traffic and everything, trying to get in and out. So there are other beaches, but I mean, are they suggesting that you bought a mobile home beside a blue flag beach and now you get into your car and try and look for another one? I mean, that's not good for the environment to be driving around looking for a beach you can bring your dog on if you can walk down to one 5 minutes away. And just because I'm a bit pressed for time, Katie, just one thing I would like to point out as well, what you said about a whole load of new dog owners. Wexford County Council have licences granted to commercial puppy farmers, some who have 300 breeding bitches and 100 breeding bitches and another that has another 100 breeding bitches. So there's a couple of huge commercial farmers. I would call them puppy farmers. They call them commercial breeders. They're legal. They're registered by Wexford County Council. So I don't think the council can have their cake and eat it. I don't think they can hand out licences to people to breed dogs relentlessly like that and then turn around to people who might have bought a dog from one of these people and say, but now you can't walk it anywhere in Wexford.
Okay. Okay, well, that's probably another whole programme out of that one. But
it is connected.
But I appreciate, Tanya, that you are caught for time, but I just want to put this to you because you did mention Curraghcloe. And in this statement from the council, they say it's worth noting that just last weekend there were in excess of 3,000 people on Curraghcloe Blue Flag Beach at particular times. The risk associated with an uncontrolled dog in that environment is obvious and may help to provide some context to the thinking behind this proposed bylaw. And of course, it is just a proposal still. It hasn't been approved as yet.
What I'd say to that, Katie, they have a new beach warden. They have the dog warden does often be down there on the beach. They have laws in place to deal if there is an uncontrolled dog. They have people employed to deal with that. Like they have people employed to deal with litter, people employed to deal with people that are lighting fires and burning down the dunes. So there is no need to ban all the rest of the people that are carrying out just a normal day of enjoyment, outdoor exercise, good for mental health, good for physical exercise, boosting the economy, going down to the local surfing place, putting their money in there, buying a pizza. You know, like there's a whole bigger picture there. And I think they're shooting themselves in the foot. There also was, as I said, a public consultation. And there was 151 submissions, and I went through that with a fine-tooth comb, and not one person agreed with this. As far as I know, I can be stand corrected. I think nearly every person that made a submission, and it was about other things as well, power boats and
you're saying, because as I say, the statement we have mentions that it says, please note these draft beach bylaws have just come through a public consultation process and must now be considered further and formally adopted by Wexford County Council before they become legally operative. Are you saying that the contributions to this public consultation were not supportive of this?
No, you can go on it. It's up on Wexford County Council page, website, and you can go on it. It's one of the closed consultations, closed on June the 8th. And as far as I could see, I only checked it this morning, there wasn't one person that was in agreement with this. They all said it was draconian, it was very unfair, it was unbalanced, unreasonable, like what I said, fine or enforce the person that's causing, if there is any issues. I always found Curraghcloe to be an extremely dog-friendly place. And as I said, you'd see the locals on the beach, you'd see the holidaymakers. But I mean, they have the wherewithal now with the new beach warden and the dog warden to actually, enforce the laws. And they always did. The Control of Dogs Act is there, years that can enforce it. So why ban everybody and ruin an outdoor summer? Like, it's all we have left, so... I think it's pretty unbalanced, in fairness. I think the issues down in Wexford now with the beaches, the biggest issues aren't dogs, to be honest. So
when you say the biggest issues aren't dogs, what are the biggest issues?
Well, the whole traffic management. I know they're doing their best now to kind of put it into place, but, you know, and then the year before, there was the dunes were burnt. I think that happened 2 years in a row. You know, there would be problems with littering and that. And I would say that an awful lot of the dog walkers would be people who would, I pick up litter on every walk I go, and I pick up, try and pick up at least two pieces of plastic and bin it on every walk, you know. Like, it's, I would commend the council and say fair play to them. They've been awarded these and they've put like work in. They have lifeguard stations, they've the toilets, they've a little shower. Like, they have really put the work in, and the beaches are beautiful and they're doing their best. And, you know, you'd see the bins absolutely overflowing and chock-a-block. And I would say, in fairness to them, they're emptied as soon as they can for the next day. But I just think a bit of balance is needed here, and a bit of thought into, you know, the people that holiday down there and why they holiday down there. A lot holidayed and bought places down there, and a lot of the residents that live near the beaches, this is where they walk their dogs. And the beach is 11 kilometres long. You know, even if they said maybe this section, whatever, but I still think families should be allowed to have their picnic, go for a swim and be near where the lifeguard is, because for safety. Yeah. You know, I don't understand why it's dog. You know, when somebody said the dunes on fire, I don't know why dog owners are being demonised.
Okay, you know? Well, I think we've somebody on the line that might come from that perspective. Brian, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Katie. How are you doing?
Yeah, Tanya there saying she just doesn't understand why all these responsible dog owners have to take the hit here. Yeah. when you know, most of them are, you know, very careful with their dogs on the beach.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a funny one, in that I'd imagine that the majority of dog owners are very responsible, but not all of the owners would be responsible. You're contacting me because I had an incident there on probably last year, last summer in Ballygart Beach, when essentially an owner came along with a very big dog that was not on a lead. It was like a cross between a Dane or a pit bull or something, a huge thing. And it essentially intimidated both myself and my partner with our young child. So it was an unfortunate accident, because
intimidated,
she didn't want,
Brian,
to come back to the beach.
Yeah, when you say intimidated, what actually happened?
Well, essentially, we went down to the beach in the evening time because it was a beautiful summer's day, hot and all the rest of it. And we were sitting there, and a man with his dog came along and walked past. And, you know, my partner, Eve, she noted that this is a dangerous-looking dog. We talked no more about it, and he walked off down the beach. So later on, I went in for my swim, as I do. And I was just finishing up my swim, beginning to come back. And didn't I notice the man there with his dog walking back? But the dog was off the lead, and he was heading up towards my partner and our young child. And I knew straight away that Eve would be very unsettled with this dog basically coming up sniffing around. So I pretty much marched straight out of the water and over to the back to my family to shoo the dog away. And you know, the man kind of shrugged it off, but it was very unsettling for her, and you know, my son didn't know anything about it, but it was definitely an uncomfortable situation. Huge dog, didn't look like a friendly sort of dog. It looked like a dog that should have a muzzle and definitely be on a lead, neither of which. And what I'd just like to say is, the regard to dog wardens, I mean, who's going to be policing the beaches at 8 o'clock on a summer's evening? Nobody. Incidents like this would probably happen all the time. Nobody's going to be there to complain to or to give out, and it's covert. So you're not going to necessarily be able to say, you know, this guy did X, so, you know, the dog should be, I don't know what, impounded or whatever it is, or fined. But, you know, it's a nonsense to think that it'll be policed by the regulations. So now I think they are good. The regulations, but I'm not sure that they'll catch the incidents that they're looking to catch.
Yeah, well, so this is during the hours of 11 to 6 on Wexford Blue Flag beaches over the summer season and on bank holidays. So this would have happened outside of that hour. But do you think this is a good idea? This
absolutely, yeah, it goes some way towards addressing, you know, how people behave with like, if it's a small dog, I'm sure it's fine for the most part. People love dogs. Well, I think for me, from my perspective, big dogs need to be muzzled off the beaches where people and their families are, and properly controlled, none of which was the case when we were there on the beach. So I would definitely agree with the bylaws, and think it would go some way towards policing the beaches.
Would you be generally uncomfortable with dogs on beaches? As in, you know, you say small dogs are okay, but as we'll say medium to large size dogs on beaches, well, in any scenario?
Well, I had two dogs myself before my family. And look, I know nobody loves to go down to the beach with the dog and let them off and have a run around. And that's great. But the problem is, if you're, you know, it depends on the breed. If you've got a big dog that's a crossbreed of a pit bull and a Dane, the thing is huge. And I mean, you know, unless you're walking around with a big stick, you're going to be fear of your life, essentially. And that's just me as an adult. I mean, if you've got little kids, you're going to run a mile from this. So, yeah, I would have an issue allowing people to patrol the beaches with these big dogs unpoliced themselves. So I just think that it's an intimidation on patrons that might use the beach.
Tanya, if you're still there with us, respond to that. Because I do think that there are a lot of people out there like Brian who are not maybe, you know, dog savvy, or maybe are dog savvy and are a little nervous, particularly if they have small children on beaches.
Yeah, well, what I'd say to that, Katie, I'm a mother as well. I had small children. You know, I mean, I think a lot of people think dog owners just own dogs and don't do anything else. I'm afraid I've found the exact opposite. When I walk my dogs, one is medium-sized and two are small. Previous to that, I had two large-breed dogs. And when I walk them, I find the complete opposite. I find people approach me and the kids would say, would it be okay if I pet your dog? I'll acknowledge there are people that have a fear of dogs or that have a phobia of dogs. And if somebody is afraid of dogs, well, the problem with that is, Casey, like, you can't bring in a law, a fair and balanced law that people will adhere to, because of maybe somebody's phobia or one-off incident, or, you know, it really isn't balanced. And as I said, the laws are there. And the dog warden does be in Kirkcaldy quite a lot every summer on the beach. And in fairness, I've heard him ask, you know, say to people, have you got water for your dog there? Have you got shade and all? So, like, what is the point in employing people and bringing in laws if nobody's ever going to enforce them? And the people that will disobey them will probably disobey them anyway if they know they're never going to be enforced, they're never going to be fined, they're never going to be pulled up. And people like me that will follow the laws will be the one that will be penalised that's doing everything right. So, you know, I don't think you can bring in a fair and just and balanced law on instance like what Brian said, which might be uncomfortable that a large dog came over near him. You know, but there are no laws.
It was my partner and son, but yes.
Yeah, he barked, yeah.
Should the starting point not be that nobody should ever feel, you know, worried or concerned about their children or themselves on a public, yeah, in a public space?
Yeah, of course. But what I'm saying is, like, that my experience as a mother and as a dog owner, that I have never encountered that. I've never seen that. And I've been on the beaches with my children over the years, and my dogs, and on my own, and on all different scenarios. You know, so I personally haven't encountered that. And if there are some people that have feared, and all, yeah, that is fine. That, like, you know, they are entitled to voice their opinion on that. But I don't think a complete ban on dogs is the answer.
It's fair.
I think
that
enforcement is of if there's an issue there, and if people know. You see, the thing is, Katie, if people know that, no, like, and I know that the councils aren't great at enforcing things related to dogs, like, say, dog fouling and that as well. And if people think that they are going to be enforced for bad behaviour, there is a fear there then, or an education around it, that they will keep their dog under control.
But I suppose there is the fear out there, though, that with the best will in the world, if you don't have your dog on a leash, that there will be moments where you won't be able to control those
dogs. This isn't even about on a leash, Katie. This is an outright ban. You know, like, this is a ban of dogs. And as I said, the Curraghclough Beach is 11 kilometres long. I don't know if it's the whole beach.
Would you be okay with restrictions that just demanded your dogs be kept on leashes on beaches?
Well, I think the Control of Dogs Act is under effective control. And that's if that was enforced properly. But it's not enforced properly. You see, this is the thing. Ireland is great at making laws and just saying this is the law, putting up a sign and then doing nothing about it. And then incidents happen and people complain and they say, oh, let's ban. I mean, this is the same.
It's just people don't tend to keep their dogs on leads on beaches, you know, in my personal experience. Because they like to let them have a run. There's a lot of space. There's water.
Yeah. Well, I think if a dog is under control, you know, I think that's... If a dog is absolutely under control and a person has put the time and effort like I have into training and a dog is completely under effective control, like I haven't had any incidents ever in Curraghclough and I'm going down there, as I said, since I was born. I'm probably walking the dog since I was 8 or 9 and I have never encountered anything negative or any bad issue with anybody. So, like, I can't be wrong about this though either. You know, I've had nothing but
your personal experience, Tanya, to be fair, it cannot be used to, you know, to be the basis for bylaws or laws in general. I'm just
exactly, and neither can Brian's. So that's what I'm saying. There has to be a balance. There has to be a bit of fairness. But to ban dogs isn't balance. That's my point. You know, and I think, as I said, if you read the submissions and you read the consultation, you will see the outcry from local people.
And yeah, I would like to know a little bit more about those submissions, actually. That is interesting. Will you hang on a second? I got Jackie, good afternoon.
Katie, how are you?
Yeah, you're a responsible dog owner.
That's correct, I am. I have a little small breed, King Charles. Yeah.
And what do you think of these bylaws, or these proposed bylaws, I should say?
Okay, well, when I heard your caller initially, when you were introducing it, I thought that's a great idea. You know, to actually have a set time during the day on a beach where dogs are not allowed. And I'm coming at this from a dog owner, you know. But recently I was in Donegal and I was on Rosnalla Beach, which is a beautiful, long, sandy beach. And I was really disgusted to see, you know, dog poop on the boardwalk there and along the beach. And as you said earlier, Katie, in my experience, it is the majority of dog owners have their dogs off their lead when they're out with them. It is impossible, and I know that myself, it is next to near impossible to actually keep your dog under control. One, from a pooping point of view, you know, that you cannot always find where the poop is, so you need to have them on their lead. And secondly, I do know from, and this is because there's a family member of mine who has a very small young child who has an absolute phobia about dogs. And recently, when they were down at their mobile home in Wexford, they could not leave their mobile home because of the dogs that were running around on the beach. I mean, it spoiled the entire weekend for them. She was absolutely terrified. So, when, you know, I really think it's a fantastic idea that there are set hours during the day where dogs are not allowed on the beach. They can go before that time, they can go after that time and enjoy a walk along the beach in the evenings and so on. But at least then people will know, okay, I can take my children down during these hours risk-free. I won't have to be worried about them screaming, getting upset because they're encountering dogs who are off-lead and even dogs on-lead.
But it is like all the hours of the day almost, or the nice hours on the beach, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mm. and also at bank holiday weekends.
Yeah, but you know what, Katie? If I'm going to the beach and I want to spend a few hours on the beach, genuinely, I wouldn't have my dog with me because, you know, it just wouldn't be practical for me. And you know, when my children were younger, I mean, we'd go for a walk on the beach with the dog, but that's all we would be doing, walk on the lead, dog home. If you want to spend a few hours on the beach enjoying it, you know, I would feel that it's impractical to have your dog there too.
And yet, Tanya, just because that point you made, that particularly for all those families, and there are so many of them who have mobile homes and caravans down along the Wexford coast, that to leave a dog in a hot a caravan or mobile home on a warm day is like leaving a dog in a car.
Well, it is, and it's very dangerous. And there's also a large campsite now there as well in the last couple of years. So it would be the same. I mean, you just couldn't. You wouldn't be allowed to go off for the day and leave your dog unattended in a tent, you know. So you'd have to bring your dog with you. So I presume these people, you know, are camping because they were beside the beach and thought they, Ballinasker Beach, that is, and thought they could bring their dog with them. So, but Katie, I have to fly off now, and I just say I hope I'll be able to continue to walk my dog. And down in Kirklow, there's a lovely dog-friendly cafe as well on the beach, the surf shack. And, you know, there's a lot of people, as I said, that own dogs, holiday with dogs in this area. And I think it's very discriminatory the way it's been brought in and brought in this. Well, it's not in yet. And if they read the 151 submissions, I presume they'll rethink it.
They say to us here, it's not a foregone conclusion.
No.
Let's see how that one works out. But stay with us, Jackie. Tanya, I'll say good luck to you and thank you for your contribution.
Thanks a million.
Thank you. We'll take a break.
Bye.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Where do you stand on this dogs on Wexford beaches story?
I never heard such rubbish in all my life, to be quite honest with you. I go to during all the lockdown and the restrictions on the 2K and 5K limits and all that, obviously I wasn't able to go with often as I used to go. But when I go down to Kirklow, I have a family member living quite close, and certainly I bring my dog onto the beach and I let him off the lead. I have a small little dog. I let him off the lead. I pick up after him. He does no harm to anybody. And I just look at, we'll say, France and Belgium and places like that. You can bring dogs into every restaurant, every cafe. They're not just marketed as dog-friendly restaurants and cafes. You can just bring them in automatically. And I think we're losing the plot here with all these rules and regulations. A dog is, I'll tell you, I had to cocoon there last year. And if it wasn't for my dog, he became my best friend during all that period. And without him, to tell you the truth, I wouldn't have survived.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that is a story for many, many, many people, that their dogs became so much more important. And as I say, so many families had an opportunity to get a dog for the first time.
Well, I didn't get him just during the COVID period. He's actually 6 years old, so I haven't 6 years. But during the cocooning period, he proved to be my best little friend. I was actually out in a local park here in Dublin this morning. I had him off the lead. And a couple came along, they had a little child, about 2 years old, and the child was all excited. Oh, look at the doggy, and can I? And the child was over petting my little dog. And, I mean, when you look at beaches...
Would you be a bit worried, just that scenario now, Anne, would you be in any way nervous at all that your dog might react badly to a strange child, maybe, you know, coming at them in a way that startled
no,
them.
Because actually he loves children. And he'll take off if he sees the child, he'll take off and he'll run over and he'll sit down beside the child and in order to allow the child to pet him.
What breed is he? What kind of a dog is he?
He's a Shih Tzu.
Oh yeah, they're lovely
a
dogs.
A small little dog, a Shih Tzu. But I mean...
worried he would snap, you know?
No. I wouldn't be in the slightest bit worried. Sure, if I was, I wouldn't let him off the lead. I heard somebody, I think it was on the Kerb Byrne show this morning, talking about the rubbish that's left behind on beaches by people like nappies and wipes and those disposable barbecues and all sorts of trash, which is much worse than Okay, if a doggy makes a mistake and does a poo and you don't notice it, I pick up always after my dog. But if there was an accident, it's not the end of the world by comparison with all the rubbish people leave behind them on beaches, littered with all sorts of stuff. Like, a big nappy is worse than a dog poo, to be honest.
And what look, if this does come in, and as I say, it's still a proposal, but if they do ban dogs off Curraghcloe Beach...
I've no intention of obeying the rule, to be quite honest with you. I would still go down and I'd go on to the beach whenever I wanted, and I would let my dog off the lead, and if they fine me, I wouldn't pay it. And if they had to bring me to court, I'd go to court. What are they going to do? Are they going to put me in jail? I'm in my 70s. Do you think they're going to put me in jail? You know, I'd have no notion of paying a fine. And I certainly would. Sure, that's the only reason I go down to Curraghcloe, because my little dog actually loves beaches. And I go, where was I there before the lockdown? In Cahor Point. And he was there off the lead, running around on the beach. And he loves the sand dunes and he loves prancing around. And he is a member of my family. And, you know, people have... a dog is a member of the family.
Yeah.
What do? Leave the dog? Do I leave the dog at home from 8 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock at night while I go down to Curraghcloe? No. And you wouldn't leave a child at home for that time. And a dog is a member of the family. End of story.
Stay there with us, Anne. Gail, what do you think
Hi,
of Anne's...
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Gail.
It's great to hear all these responsible dog owners that kick up after themselves and everything. But they have to see it from the other point of view. I go to beaches in Wexford regularly, and there is rarely a time that I'm there that a random dog that I don't know, it may be part of somebody else's family, but it's not part of my family, comes up to my children or to me when I'm in a rug. And I call them that he won't touch your brigade, because they think the member of their member of the family is not a member of my family. And they come in, running up to me, running up to my children, and, you know, I wouldn't go up and stand beside somebody who was sitting on a rug somewhere, because it's invading their space. These people's dogs run up. And when you say to people, can you please take your under control, they say, Ashery wouldn't touch you. That's why I call them,
and
you wouldn't touch your brigade.
Excuse me, I could be sitting on a rug in Curraghcloe Beach, and children could come run over beside me, and they could be annoying me.
But I'm saying children and dogs are not the same. You know what I mean? That is irresponsible parenting, that they're letting their children over. But there's also irresponsible dog owners who let their dogs run over, and they're not under control. And I was in a beach recently in Wexford, had everything set up for my family, and turned around and there was a big dog poo behind me. And you had mentioned, sometimes a dog makes a mistake. But if you're a responsible dog owner, you will be looking for that dog. You know,
Of course you do.
There's no big deal if somebody makes a mistake and leaves their dog poo there. Unfortunately, I've challenged people in the past about their dogs pooing, and unfortunately, I have not got a good reception. And if you look up if you can't contact any of the local councils, they will tell you how many dog fines for dog fouling have been done in the last year. So the dog warden has to actually see the dog fouling in front of their eyes.
I appreciate that. And I know in South County Dublin, there's only one dog warden in the whole area.
Yeah.
And they actually
unfortunately, you may be a responsible dog owner, but most people are not.
I disagree entirely.
This is why it's a discussion, because I'm just saying, there is rarely a time. I was in Cortown Woods recently, and a dog came tearing down the woods, and I said to the owner, can you please keep your dog under control? Oh, yeah. And they didn't put it on the lead. The dog ran by. But they may be part of somebody's family, but they're not part of my family, and it's very inappropriate for any animal to come running up. Myself and my children are not afraid of dogs, but there are a lot of people that are. And I would be all for this. As Katie said, there's 50 beaches that are available for dogs all the time. Why not have a few beaches with restrictions? times that the dogs are not bothering people, because as far as I'm concerned, they
should
are
have
bothering.
Restricted beaches where children are not allowed on, because they would be annoying
there's
me.
There's a big difference between people. Must realise that there's a big difference.
Disagree
between
with you because my dog
animals.
Is my dog is my family. End of story. My dog is my family.
You cannot say there's that put children and dogs on the same pedestal. Dogs are dogs. And human beings are human beings. I appreciate that people are very fond of their dogs, but other people are not very fond of their dogs. You know, the
It's a good job. Yes, I don't suppose you've ever gone on safari or anything like that, where you're out in the wild with all the animals.
How do you know where I've been? You're assuming I haven't been to these people.
Well, you appreciate all the animals out in the wild, and you appreciate
I have lots of animals myself, but they're under control, and I would not consider bringing an animal to a beach. Recently, there has been lots of cases, unfortunately, where dogs have bitten children, and they're the... They wouldn't touch a brigade. You know what I mean?
And for example, can you give me an example?
Because these are personal issues. You don't deal with specific cases and things like this. That is not appropriate. But I just, if I had known about that a consultation process in Wexford, I would have known. Maybe it should have been, you know, advertised, because Wexford is such, you know, people come from all over the country. But I'm afraid we're going to have, your dog is part of your family, but he's not part of my family. And I really don't believe children
and dogs are on the same thing. Kids running riot on a beach aren't part of my family.
Well, maybe you should, excuse me.
Okay, okay, let Anne in there, please.
I didn't interrupt you. They're not part of my family. And if they're running riot around a beach and annoying you, like, it's the same difference. They're annoying me, running riot, and it's the parents then that don't keep them under control. And equally, there might be some dog owners who don't keep their dog under control. But by and large, all the dog owners I know in the two local parks that I frequent with my dog, they all have their dogs under control. They all pick up, by and large, after their dogs.
You said there about a little child that was 2 years old. You had a specific... How did you know when your dog ran up and sat beside that dog that that child would like that to happen?
I'll tell you exactly why. Because the child was standing there and they were saying, "Oh, Daddy, look at the lovely doggy. Look at the doggy, 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 doggy." And the child wanted to come over to the dog. And actually, the child's father asked me only this morning, "Is it okay if my little son goes over to your doggy?" And I said, "Absolutely." I told my doggy to sit. He sat, and the little child petted him. And the owner said, "Thank you very much for allowing that. You've made the child's day."
Well, I'm delighted you've met your responsible dog owner with responsible dogs. But you have just said on radio that if there was those rules, you wouldn't obey them. Yet you're saying that you're a responsible dog owner. If the local council,
I wouldn't obey them. I wouldn't obey them. I'd have no notion of obeying them. This country is going into red tape for everything. Like, if you have a dog, wouldn't it be the point of me driving down from Dublin to Curacoe for a day and having to leave my dog at home, or getting putting my dog into care for the day? I wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't leave him at home for all that time. No more than you would leave a child locked up at home from 8 in the morning till 8 at night.
But I would drive to Curacoe as well, and I don't want to be bothered by a dog. And if you're bothered by children on the beach, maybe you could go up to their parents, like I go up to the dog owners.
and get the head bitten off me.
Well, I, on a regular basis, get my head bitten off me for saying, "Can you please keep your dog under control?" Practically every time to go to the beach. But if people like me do not say, please keep your dog under control. Or people like you say to parents of children, please keep your children under control. There will be no law in this place.
Gail, can I ask you? You said earlier that you don't believe, that you think the majority of dog owners are not responsible. Surely you don't really believe that.
No, I really believe that because, as I said, there's rarely a time I go to a beach that dogs do not run up to me or my family. And I ask people to keep their dogs under control and they say, Ashley wouldn't touch you.
I'll tell you what, dogs must be really attracted to you.
Well, because, no, they're not just... You, I'm just intolerant of dogs, you know what I mean, and bad manners dogs. But as I said, we'll have to agree to disagree on this.
I'd say the reason the dogs run over to you is because they think you're a nice, friendly person.
Well,
and they want
probably,
to be friendly with you.
I am a nice, friendly person, but I like people to keep their dogs under control. I'm delighted you're a responsible dog owner, and I really wish people would be more like you, but I really don't think dogs should be let run around. And I really like to thank you for listening to my end of the story, but I actually have to go now.
Okay.
And good luck with your little dog.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Gail. And thank you, Anne. Thank you, Anne, for telling your story. And we'll take a break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Now we'll move on from that issue of dogs and beaches for a while. I want to go to Austin. Austin, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Your issue is junk mail.
Yes, it is, Katie. Yeah, I received some junk mail during the week and... You know, the nature of the junk mail is fine. Normally, the junk mail, you can contact the person and say, look, I don't want this anymore. But this particular junk mail, I find offensive.
Now, just to explain, when we say junk mail, we're talking about unsolicited advertising material through the letterbox.
Correct, yes. And on my letterbox, it says, no ads, please. So it's fairly straightforward that I don't want any of these sort of communications in my inbox. So when I received and do receive our bits and pieces, you know, over the months, you know, I'll contact whoever is distributing the leaflet and say, look, please respect this. I don't want it. But the one I got the other day, I think on Wednesday, it was, well, first of all, it's unsolicited, but it's also anonymous. There's nobody to contact to say, look, I don't want this. It doesn't say who it's from. And it's, for me, it's religious stuff being forced on me, and I don't like it.
Okay, describe it for me. I have a picture of it here in front of me. So it says, yeah, God bless, exclamation mark, you're special, exclamation mark. I think I'd open that envelope if I got that through the door.
No, I did too, because I wanted to see what was in it. So within it then, there's three cards in it, and they have various, you know, pieces of the Bible and scripture and stuff like that. And one of them has... The background image is all shamrocks on it, and you know, it's all kind of born again Christian sort of messages.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Jesus loves you. How are you saved? By works.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I hardly call that offensive, though, Austin.
For me, it's offensive. Yeah, because I don't want it. I don't want to receive it. You know. You can have your beliefs, and that's one thing. But I don't want to see this. And certainly, I would like to contact the person who has issued this in my mailbox and say, why do you put it in my mailbox when it says I don't want any of this sort of stuff? You know, where I live in South County Dublin, in an apartment complex, about 40% of the population here are non-Irish, predominantly from Asia, India, and they're not... they don't have a Christian background, I would imagine. So I'd say that they get this sort of stuff and they go, oh gosh, you know, what's this about? But for me, I don't want it.
But I mean, if you were, for instance, you get a lot of bump in the door from pizza places and the like. Like if you were a vegetarian and you got, you know, burger ads through the letterbox, would you find that offensive?
If I was a vegan or a vegetarian, I might. But, you know, I have the sign on my mailbox that says, please, no ads or no ads, please. It's fairly straightforward. From time to time, we get it. But, you know, people respect that I don't want this sort of stuff.
And you're wondering why these people didn't respect that notice.
Yes. Well, there's two elements to this. One, why didn't you respect that I don't want it? And the second one is, why can't I contact you to tell you that I don't want it?
But it's,
why are you anonymous?
I'm looking at for information. There's an email address for information. Have you tried that?
I have, yes. I have emailed the address and I've received no response.
Right. So you can't even give out to them, basically?
Yeah. No, I can't give out to them. Now, I haven't, I speak to my neighbours about this, but I haven't spoken to any of the parents of the children that the children play in the courtyard here. Have they received any of this stuff? But I know there are non-Christians here, there are Muslims. I don't know, there could be Hindus here. I don't know. But for me, if this material was from a faith that wasn't my faith and it's been forced into my mailbox, I would find it offensive.
Will you stay with us, Austin?
Sure.
I want to bring in Helen. Helen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes.
Yes, you were listening to Austin there, Helen.
I was indeed, and I think Austin is a crank. I think anyone who calls anything junk is a crank. Junk in the English Cambridge Dictionary means rubbish. It means discarded articles of no value. It means trash or worthless garbage. And also junk as heroin. But
to Austin, this material is worthless and trash, and he doesn't want anything to do with it.
Has Austin no green bin?
I haven't put it in the green bin yet, sir.
Well, a green bin is stuff that's recycled to make the paper that the thing is printed on. Also, there's the ink manufacturer, there's the printer, there's the designer, and there's the distributor, there's the delivery boy, and then there's the green bin, which is again a cycle, a recycle. My sons delivered stuff when they were young for their pocket money, free papers, you know, and I delivered stuff for the church, and I would never call it junk mail. To me, junk is rubbish, and it wouldn't be rubbish to me.
But
and if you don't want the stuff, my advice to you is to say letter post only. And if you don't like its contents, then put it in your green bin. Don't be a crank. There's too many cranks in the world. We need to tolerate each other. Nobody's forcing you to change your religion or not to have a religion. Nobody's forcing us, you know. And I hope God loves you anyway. But however, that's just my opinion. It's been a sore thing for me for a long time.
Okay,
I don't like to see it.
Helen, you don't like to see the junk mail,
no junk mail.
That bothers you.
Insult. It's an insult to the poor little lads that are putting it in the door. And I remember some long walks up to doors in some of the places I delivered. And they get up to the door to find this notice on their door. Haven't walked all the way up. And I think it is an insult. That's all. I just think it's insulting to people.
Well, when you say insulting, though, Helen, you mean to the poor person delivering it or to the people producing it?
Everybody involved, because my son needed work at one time and he got printing done and it cost a lot of money. And he got four jobs out of it. You know, and those four jobs created four more jobs for him in the trade that he's in, if you understand me. And I'm not just sticking up for it because he got work out of it. I'm thinking of all the people that get the work out of these things they deliver to the door. Couldn't maybe afford advertising. But our window cleaners that we have on our street here, our window cleaner got his job through the same as they call junk mail by putting a little thing in the door. I got him, then my neighbour got him and so on. You know, and I have neighbours who'll take my mail in if I'm not here. So I'm friendly with my neighbours.
Mm-hmm.
But I can understand people who might have an open plan door or something, or a see-through door, and all the stuff gathers up. But you just get friendly with one of your neighbours that will take it in and put it in your green bin for you. And just remember, the green bin also employs people. And the recycle employs people. That's just my opinion. He's entitled to his, but he shouldn't insult the person, the documentation is getting in the door. You don't insult it. It has caused somebody to have a job.
Can I ask you, Helen, you say you used to deliver envelopes.
Church envelopes.
Yeah, and, this is for looking for remittances,
the,
is it?
The newsletters and stuff like that. And I would never, if I saw junk, no junk on the door, I wouldn't consider what I was putting in the door junk.
If you got material about, I don't know, atheism or, you know, some belief system that you did not subscribe to through the door, would that bother you?
No, not at all. Why would it bother me? Why would I let anything like that bother me? If I don't believe in something, I don't believe in, I don't try to choke people because they believe in it. Not at all. I really didn't think no more about it.
Let me put those points you raised to Austin. Austin, it's making work for people. It's giving employment to people, and it is advertising people's products.
Yeah, I understand all of that, but this is a product I don't want. Okay, so you can advertise your products because you go along the N11 heading towards town. It's a church at the corner of Foster's Avenue, and they quite frequently will have a billboard up there with some sort of a message from them. I have no problem with that. That's a public message and can be read and dismissed as you want to. But this particular message that's being sent to me is coming to me when I don't want it. I've asked not to receive this, and yet I'm still getting it. Now, I understand what Helen's saying about it gives people jobs. I can go back 50 years ago. I'm in my late 50s now. I can go back 50 years ago when I was a kid, doing stuff very similar to what Helen has described with her sons, with putting handbills through letterboxes to advertise my father's business. That was then, this is now. We've moved on.
What's the difference, Austin?
The difference is now we have consent. I don't consent to this coming to me. I'm asking people, do not give it to me. So I don't want it.
You did this yourself as a young lad for your father.
I was under 10 years of age. I would have done it. Yeah, 50 years ago.
And did anyone ever object to you when you were on the rounds dropping in these notices?
I don't remember it. And as a child, you know, something like that would have stuck in my mind, but I don't remember.
I'm just wondering, has things moved on? Because you're not taking anybody's private data or anything by, you know, putting something through the door. Like, what is the difference between then and now?
I think the difference between then and now is we understand as house owners that we have the choice to say, I don't want this sort of stuff coming to me. I'm not interested. So if it's an advert for a pizza or some other service locally, any of the delivery services, I don't get any of those because they have put them through the letterbox and I have contacted them saying, please don't send them to me. End of story. The problem with this is I can't contact those who have sent this to say, please respect the message I have in my mailbox. I don't want it. You know, they're sent to us in a way which is unidentifiable who it comes from. You know, that's not appropriate. If they want to send a message, by all means, send it and say, look, if you want to contact this prayer group or this religious group for more information, please do it. But even the email address they have on us, lopuslopus12@gmail.com, it's a generic email. You can create one in 30 seconds on any of the email serving websites anywhere online, so it's the nature of it.
Yeah, I suppose you're right in terms that, like, if you have subscribed to one, or you're getting emails, advertising emails that you don't want to keep getting, you have to have an unsubscribe button on those emails now. There has to be an easy way to unsubscribe if you're being bombarded with online material. So yeah, I suppose in relation to that, there has been a change in how we react to this. I just want to bring Paul in. Paul, if you're there, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. How you doing? Just to get to, as I say, to me, it's a first world problem. That's all it is. It's a first world problem. It's not the end of the world. If something comes in my letterbox that I don't agree with, I have to realise the world is a big place. Not everybody out there, I'm not a particularly religious person. If something religious came in to me, I'll have a quick read of it. Maybe I'll keep it, maybe I'll throw it out, maybe I'll agree with some of it, maybe I won't. You know, who knows? Like, you know, how can you legislate for people to put stuff into letterboxes. They can't possibly know when they're putting it into your letterbox whether you're going to find that objectionable. How would you know? If you don't like it, just have a read of it and then throw it in the recycling bin.
Like Austin isn't saying it's a huge issue. He's just saying it's not appropriate and there should be some way for him to be able to alert these people to not put it through his letterbox when he has a sign on the letterbox.
Yeah, but the thing about it is that you just hit my second point there. You're saying a sign called junk mail. Let's ask ourselves, what is junk mail? Now, I know the technical definition is unsolicited mail. Now, in my opinion, I've worked for political parties for many years, and as I say, over the last 40 years or so, and I used to, you'd be delivering literature, political literature for the candidate that you're supporting, and you'd say, the last thing you want to see is a no junk mail sign. Now, on many occasions, myself and my colleagues would be delivering, and we'd say, is this junk mail? And both of us agree it's not junk mail. It's public information. It's information. Now, it's technically unsolicited.
But it's
public information.
But Paul, can I ask you about that? Because I often wondered about that. Because I've had other people complain about getting political literature in particular from candidates or in relation to candidates that they would not have supported. And being particularly annoyed and aggrieved by that because they had a no junk mail notice on their doors. I'm just wondering, do candidates have a policy on this? Because you could actually lose a vote by pushing your material through the wrong door.
Yes, Kate, you could potentially lose a vote. And as I say, I know you spend a lot of time talking to potential candidates yourself and the work you do, mm-hmm. and you do it very well. But as I say, I feel that in a lot of cases, even let's for argument's sake say there's no election and it's just a sitting TD or councillor who's trying to basically distribute public information. A typical example would be, let's say, a rundown of, let's say, the person's social welfare entitlements, or this is what you're entitled to. This is the, it could have been a change in legislation, which means that social welfare payments would be hired or whatever. Yeah. And then you have, let's say, transport is a big thing. I find a lot of local representatives tend to drop in stuff about public transport, about new initiatives, what's coming on board. This is all useful public information. It's the furthest thing from junk, in my opinion. Furthest thing from junk.
Yeah, but they're not putting that through the door for the good of the... I mean, they want to have a piece of information that householders will need to hang on to. For instance, I think there was one lately about a candidate putting through recycling tips, kind of information you'd stick on your fridge.
Sorry, Katie, what'd you say there?
I'm saying that information is put through so that it'll be the kind of information you'd stick on your fridge door, and that would keep the candidate's name and face in front of the householder. So it's not like a altruistic public service. It's advertising again, Paul, in a different way.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Sure. I've had people who are commercial companies, let's say, and I've been known to stick them on my fridge if it suits me to do so. More luck to the guy, because you didn't have to pay for it. You know what I mean? It was given to you for free, so stick it up or don't stick it up, you know.
Okay.
I think people are making a big deal out of nothing here. Like, besides something else as well, too, I think the previous lady said it, about it's a good opportunity, it's a good employment opportunity for a lot of people, particularly a lot of low-paid, immigrant workers who mightn't have very good English. And a little bit of leaflet dropping is keeping the wolf from the door and helping them pay a few bills. Like, God's sakes, live and let live, you know, is what I'd say to that first gentleman. Live and let live. Leave them alone, for God's sakes.
Okay.
I'll finish on this, Katie. I'm seriously thinking of getting a sign and putting it on my door. And you know what it's going to say? Yes, I want junk mail.
Okay, Paul. Send us a photo of that if you do that.
When
will
I
you?
Get it done, I will send it in to you, yeah. Because
okay.
I'm just tired of these no junk mail people. I've no time for them.
Okay.
Anyway,
thanks for that,
Katie.
Paul. Thank you.
You mind yourself.
Okay, you too. Just very briefly, Lauren, good afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just felt like, I think it was at Austin that, in my mind he made a fair point, it's no problem if people want to distribute messages or adverts, that's great, that it's a hiring opportunity. But if there's a sign on the door, just respect it. You know, it's it's not putting the whole industry out of work, as many people will still like those free newspapers. But I know from, you know, or letters or whatever they are, I know from my point of view, my dog goes ballistic anytime something comes through the door. And sometimes it's 7 a.m, you know, and you're getting it multiple times a day. And sometimes it's just too much and you actually just want to be able to opt out. And I think that's all that Austin has said he wants to be able to do, which I think is completely fair.
Okay. John?
Speaking, yes.
Yeah, John, whose side are you on here?
Well, I'm, the point I wanted to make was that as far as I'm concerned, it's the height of bullying to forcibly make people take leaflets that they don't want. I have 5 leaflets on my, notices on my door and my gate, and they don't mention junk mail anywhere. It's no leaflets, no flyers, no pamphlets, posted mail only. It's clear. I'm not insulting anybody, but still, in spite of phoning people, phoning companies, phoning TDs, they'll say, oh, well, it's information. I don't want information. I don't want my letterbox to be full up every time I leave the house, which I have to now and again, and come back and find a letter. Obvious I'm not home, you know.
Well, that is an issue for sure, that the idea that it's highlighting the fact that some householders are away for some period if your letterbox is overflowing. Yeah.
And for anybody to say, you know, put it in the bin, get your neighbours to come in, that's bullying as far as I'm concerned, because I don't want it in the first place. I don't want to have to ask my neighbours. I don't want to, I mean, green bins are not free anymore. So if you were to, some of those, as I say, takeaway menus are huge. And they fill up the letterbox, 2 or 3 or less would fill up your letterbox in half a week, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's bullying as far as I'm concerned to force me to have to, you know,
yep.
when being unreasonable, because I have contacted the TDs in particular, but as I say, they politely ignore it, and I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's good enough, because as I say, it's putting the house in danger if it's obvious I'm not home, and we have had breakings, which I blame, to be quite honest, on the fact that the letterbox was overflowing.
Okay, John. Good point. Hadn't been raised already.
I think there should be legislation or something, you know. As it's, yeah, well, that's fine, yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. Thanks for that point, John. We'll take a break.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Ed Drew, good afternoon.
Katie, how are you?
Ed, God, you've been through a very, very difficult time. You're the proprietor of Copswood Aviaries in Kilmacanic in County Wicklow.
That's right, Katie. Yeah, we had a devastating fire last Saturday morning. My daughter woke me up at 6:20, just roaring and screaming that the farm was on fire. So we went down and just to be greeted with devastation of a blaze that took 4 fire brigades 2 hours to put out, and lost a lot of, you know, you have a shed for 30 years with tools and stuff that just can't be replaced, and unfortunately lost some animals and birds as well. I'm in the film industry, and some of them just from smoke inhalation. It was, yeah.
You couldn't save them. Oh, and tell me, when you say you're in the film industry, you provide birds for movies, do you?
Yeah. Yeah, we provide. Yeah, we've been at it. The company and my family have been at it for 24 years now. I think the first film we did start off was Braveheart, and it's moved on from then. So we're actually on Valhalla, and we're in Disenchant now. We're in a Wonderful World in Disney. We're in Enniskerry at the moment, and it's just brilliant.
Oh yeah, because as you remember, the first movie, the Enchanted movie, did have a lot of birds in it, but they were animated. Do they have real live action with birds in this one?
Oh, they do. Yeah, we have a great array. We have geese and bluebirds and owls, chickens, a raven, pigs, dogs. So it's, yeah, because they go from animation characters into real life.
Right. So and were any of these birds among the casualties of the fire?
Yeah, we lost a few. We've been training for a big scene, but unfortunately, it was just from smoke inhalation. So it was quite horrific and sad to see them all the work we've done, and for the birds to end up like that. It was very unfortunate.
God, it must have been a terrible scene on Saturday.
Yeah, it's just still, yeah, and the gaunting just coming back every night to the yard because we've a busy farm. We have a pet shop and a neighbour here. We've been doing it for 20 years, supplying birds and animals to the public and to pet shops and stuff. So we have a range of every animal under the sun, from lemurs to monkeys to swans, owls, goats, pigs, horses, ponies and things. But yeah, it's just like a whole world is gone. But look, no one was hurt and the family unfortunately lost a few of the animals, but just the knock-on effect of, you know, you go up to the yard to get a packet of cable ties or a sheet of plywood to fix something. There's always something going on the farm to be fixed, but we'll just have to restart again.
God, it sounds like the most astounding, brilliant place to work though. Did you say lemurs?
Yeah, I have lemurs and I have squirrel monkeys and stuff like that, which we've used on some of the movies. And yeah, we're busy with fish and stuff. We're lucky enough to be up in a little production up in Donegal and God's Creatures, and we're supplying live fish and salmon. And last week we're down in Baltimore and a brilliant other small little production called The Sparrow, and we had hand-reared sparrows that were performing in that. And then you come to from one extreme to the other to the Disney, and it's like a different world, but it's great for the community and everybody. The knock-on is just brilliant for everybody, and the glorious week we've had here in Enniskerry is just amazing to all the team who are working with us on it.
Absolutely. God, I want to go down and make a movie about you now. That's amazing.
You.
Will you stay there? We've got a call here and I think you might just have some advice for this caller, okay, if you don't mind. Kira, yeah. Kira, good afternoon.
Hi, I'm so sorry for Ed. That's terrible about the fire. Yeah. Really bad news. So sorry about that. This seems very trite in comparison to what you've just been talking about. Basically, last Sunday, a racing pigeon arrived in my back garden. And,
okay.
Another racing pigeon joined him later on Sunday. And so I looked up online what to do, and I'd given him wild bird seed and water because he seemed very tired. And basically, they haven't left since then. I stopped feeding them on Wednesday, and I've reported it online. They both have a GB ring on them, and but they're not leaving, even though I haven't fed them. And they're coming in the back door of the house, and they're every time I go out in the garden, they're following me around, looking for food. So,
That's a hard one because, yeah, it's racing season now for the pigeon racing, so they would have been brought over in lorries from either from the north or from the UK with Brexit, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But what happens, they lose their bearings and then they land on somewhere that might resemble being home. And normally, yeah, if you feed them for 2 or 3 days, they build back up their strength and they head back home to wherever they come from. But they must be liking where they're living, and the fact that there's two there, they're probably feeling, you know, compatible. This is a safe place to live, and they're probably roosting on the wind. It's not ideal,
they're roosting in the gutter, and they're loving. We have a shed in the garden, so I think the fact that the shed is there, the roof of the shed, and we have a deck, and they're sitting roosting on the deck. So.
Yeah, there is the Irish Homing Association and the GB one as well. So they probably came from the north. So ideally, ring them and read the ring number, and most of the owners would organise for someone to transport them back up again. They just lost their bearings.
Yeah, I'll try that. Okay, I'll ring.
Okay, that's the thing.
Thanks, Kira.
Thanks, you're welcome. Thanks, Kira. We've tweeted photographs of the pigeons. If anyone recognises, I don't know. Are pigeons unique enough that owners would recognise them, Ed?
No, they go. They all have a unique ring number on their leg that's put on when they're about 6-7 days old, a band, and that's unique to every breed. They have his initials and then the registration numbers on it, so every pigeon is different.
Okay, but if Kira gets onto the racing associations, they should have a list of people.
It'll be on the list of the owners, rightful owner.
Okay, and listen, Ed, my heart goes out to you with that, you know, coming back from that fire. But hopefully, you'll get back on your feet again.
Yeah, and just while I have you there, just to say thank you so much to everybody with their concerns. They're just so helpful on the film industry, all the locals, and everybody just said they'd all pulled together. But thank you so much. Over the air, just thank all the people I know.
Okay, we're very happy to do that. Yeah, Ed Drew, many thanks. We will take our last break there.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And just before we come up to the hour, I want to return to that story that people are very exercised about, and that is dogs on beaches in Wexford. A proposal to ban dogs from beaches over the summer months from the hours of 11 to 6. This is the Blue Flag beaches. Samantha Kelly, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
You love to take your dogs on beaches in Wexford.
I do. And throughout the pandemic in particular, I was putting up videos on Twitter. I'm in Rosslare Harbour, so it's a different beach to the Blue Flag beaches, but there's never really anyone around there, so it's great, you know. So I bring the dogs down. It kept me sane during the pandemic. I know one of your callers mentioned that, you know, how important it was for mental health during the pandemic.
Yeah.
To be able to just, like, I work from home, so it was great to be able to get out for a break away from the computer and just go down with the dogs. And I never let them off the lead unless there's no one around. And if there is anyone around, they're on the lead. And I also, the council are great here in Wexford at putting, you know, they have these bins where you can, you know, you have little doggy bags and stuff. So mm-hmm. you can actually pick up the poo and you can put it in the bin when you leave, you know. And like the other caller mentioned as well, I often pick up plastic and bits of, because I hate seeing that on the beach, you know. So, I mean, it's actually, I was like, oh my God, you know, I felt a little bit, I don't know, because I am a responsible dog owner. You know, I do make sure that it's safe, because I was actually walking one day and a different dog owner had their dog off a lead and it bit me, you know, and I was like, oh my God, I thought the dog was coming up to say hello, you know. I was like, yay, you lovely little cute dog. And I was like, oh, and he bit me. So, I mean, I was like, you know, so I am very, you know, aware of people that might be afraid of dogs, you know, and I'm aware that, okay, not
everyone
loves dogs.
But for those people then, Samantha, do you not appreciate that, like, they have a right to be able to relax and particularly bring their children onto those beaches?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and people can relax and bring their children on the beaches. I mean, but, you know, sometimes children and sometimes people, it's actually people who are the issue, not the dogs. It's the dog owners that are not responsible. And it's people. I was walking with the dogs the other day and there was campers and they, I came across their toilet, you know, and they left, they were packing up the camp and I didn't know what to do because I was like, oh my God, they were leaving all the toilet roll, whatever you can imagine. And I was just shocked. You know, so it's usually like there are irresponsible people out there, dog owners and non-dog owners, you know. So, I mean, it's just, it's implementation of the rules. It's just being a good citizen. So I don't think it's fair. I've seen a lot of elderly people and they're lonely and they go out for their walk at those times because, you know, they don't want to be going out at, when it's getting, you know,
yes,
a bit darker,
absolutely.
Or whatever, you know. So
yeah.
I do see a lot of elderly people in particular, and I could be the only person they see that day, you know, and they have their dogs and we have them on leads. And it's just about the leads and making sure that your dog is under control and being responsible.
Yeah. Okay, Samantha, we're out of time. We're well over time, actually. But many thanks for that contribution. Today's programme was produced by Fergus Sweeney. Sound was by Mark McGrath. Our BCO was Daniel Keating. And Rebecca Meehan is the series producer. Stand by for Catherine Thomas.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 212 offers, visit your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
1850-715-815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.